And I wish we would have just realized, hey, we just need to make this decision and go move on. So if, you know, if I could go back, I would just say, make the decision, get the feedback. And if it was wrong, I mean, if it's to your customer, apologize. If it's internal, just, I mean, chalk it up as, hey, team, we lost this and we're going to kind of course correct and move forward.
Welcome to the Winning E-Commerce Experience Show, where it's all about creating a brand that your customers love so they keep coming back. This show is brought to you by DataQ. Your store experience begins with your homepage. DataQ improves your conversion rate up to 30% by showing each visitor a personalized homepage based on their interest. And now your host, Shahram Enver.
Hey guys, today we've got someone who's running a coffee e-commerce site. They call it Common Sense Coffee. Garrett, great to have you with us.
Hey, excellent to be here. Thank you.
So we were just talking a little bit earlier that coffee is one of those items that probably didn't get too badly hit by this crisis. We know that some other areas like wholesale got hit, but from what I understand, your direct-to-consumer business has been going pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were kind of afraid at the beginning because we're a relatively new business, started in November of last year. And when COVID hit, it seems like the whole world just shut off over the course of a few weeks. But, you know, as we continued on and people became more comfortable with social distancing in their daily lives, we actually see a lot of our customers now buying our coffee because they can't go to their brick and mortar locations in their hometowns or their Starbucks in the airports and everything. So it's been great from delivering coffee to consumers, and it's been great, and we've been really enjoying it.
So you're like the perennial hustler, right? I mean, we talked about this, that you've got a full-time job and you started this something like last year, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And you're building this towards a goal. Tell us about why you started the company, like why coffee, and you know, where you want to take the business.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've always been the side hustle person or someone that just work on something, building something, whether it's business or in my job, whatever. But the reason we started Common Sense Coffee is, we were sitting around a table one day at a barbecue at my house with a few of my friends. And we were sitting there and I was like, guys, you know, we really need to like start a business. What can we do that we do every single day that like doesn't have technology that we could go in and fundamentally like disrupt the industry? And we were just sitting around for a while and we're like, hey, what about coffee? I mean, like we all drink coffee, like 2/3 of Americans drink coffee. It's one of the number one most consumed drinks in the entire planet. In terms of commodity, it's now behind data, oil, and then it's coffee. It is the most available commodities. And we just thought it was really an interesting concept because the coffee industry doesn't have a lot of technology today. I mean, most coffee, like cafes are small businesses. They focus on serving a small audience base in their local towns. Totally fine. There's some bigger coffee companies like Starbucks that have really been successful over the years, but for the most part, not many coffee companies embrace technology and try to do things differently. And that's kind of what we wanted to do. So we have some pretty interesting plans on what we wanted to do in the future. And I'm happy to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, let's get into that because, you know, one of the things which I thought about was you know, whenever you start a business, I think you really hit the nail on the head that you really need to figure out something that's different, that's not in the market right now that you need to fill. And then the moment that you've talked about coffee, I was like, wait a minute, there's so many coffee companies out there. So it sounds like you guys are really going for this sort of technology aspect of it, right? So specifically, what was that? Was it really like down to e-commerce, like so where people could come in and buy coffee easily, or were you thinking beyond that?
No. So we didn't think e-commerce was new. I mean, there are e-commerce coffee sites out there. What we really think is new is we're getting to that age where the traditional roasting process uses propane and natural gas predominantly. And what happens is you get a company that imports a lot of coffee beans from across the world into a warehouse, a centralized warehouse. And they have these big industrial roasters. And what they do is they roast the coffee, and then they package it up, and then they distribute it out to all their cafes. That's how it works in a traditional sense. Now we're getting to the point where the technology is available to actually take the natural gas or propane roaster out of the equation completely and replace it with an electric roaster. Electric roasters are now becoming pretty, at first they were only like home base where you could have like a home-based coffee roaster to use electricity, but now you're seeing more commercial sized coffee roasters out there. Like, for example, there's a company in Bellwether. We actually are getting one of their coffee roasters in Berkeley, California. And they have a coffee roaster. It looks like a refrigerator. You plug it into a 220 volt outlet and that's it. You load it up with coffee beans. It's powered by an iPad. You press a few buttons and you roast your coffee, and then it actually will dump it into a bucket and let it cool for you. It's all automatic. You have all kinds of analytics, insights. And I mean, best of all, and the biggest reason that a lot of coffee shops don't actually have roasters at their coffee locations is because it's really expensive from a permitting standpoint. You need to induce ventilation, and you have to run natural gas lines, which is really expensive up front. But with an electric,
and the safety problem, I guess, right? With
Yep, absolutely. But with this Bellwether and some of the other companies out there, you really just plug it in. So what we want to do is we want to bring the coffee roasting experience into the cafe and teach the consumer more about how the coffee's roasted. So that does kind of two things. One, it gives the customer fresher coffee because we don't have to worry about putting it on a truck and taking it to our cafes. And two, you really eliminate the warehouse aspect of it. So instead of doing, leasing and having the overhead for a warehouse, you're really just teaching the baristas that work at the cafes how to use this new roaster, and they can still make you espresso and they can also roast coffee. So you're also kind of like taking the coffee roaster out of the equation as well. I mean, they're still kind of necessary with some aspects, but we think that's going to fundamentally shift some of these things. And why we decided to go into e-commerce is because we think that we could build a network of these cafes across the country. We're only focused on US for now, but across the country, where if we get an order from the website, say someone in Pennsylvania, that order can get routed to the nearest cafe that we have in Pennsylvania or close to Pennsylvania, where they could do the e-commerce fulfillment as well. So not only are you doing a normal coffee shop operation, you're also roasting it, and you're also doing the e-commerce fulfillment, all under one umbrella, same rent, and there's not much compromise from a space perspective.
Yeah, and I can't help thinking about the environmental impact on this as well, right? Like, you're obviously cutting down usage of fossil fuels, and I'm assuming, I don't know about the efficiency, because I guess with new technology it always needs time to catch up. Mm-hmm. But even with I guess what you just mentioned, the truck, that's a lot of transport costs involved, where you have to take the beans to place A, process it, and take it to multiple cafes. And here you're saying, well, just take them straight to the cafes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest, the transportation of coffee is one of the biggest emitters of greenhouse gases. It's not just the roasting process. So a lot of the benefit comes from cutting down transportation and also on the roasting side. Now, what's also interesting is we think that we're in a time now where the solar that has been around for decades now is now becoming more efficient than some of the other alternatives in some locations. So we're betting on the perfect scenario where we could have a cafe and have it powered by solar to do the roasting operation, and maybe even the whole entire cafe as a whole, and really eliminate most of the carbon footprint from the coffee roasting process. And if we could do this in steps, not all at once, right? We need to make sure the technology is there to be commercially feasible. But you know, we feel that, I mean, this is the future, and the coffee industry is perfect for this because it's so ubiquitous around the world that a coffee roaster in Japan is the same as one in the United States. I mean, it's the same everywhere in terms of how coffee is made.
Right. So now let's jump into the topic, which is, you know, e-commerce. It sounds like you've got a lot of really great ideas. And one of the, say, pillars of that business plan was to get online and get on e-commerce. And it looks like it really, you know, saved your butts, quote unquote, for the COVID crisis, because you
have a sales channel.
That's, so talk us through how you planned going online, because obviously it's a very different thought process than going to a cafe, right? Like how, you know, we talked about this earlier, that you're already like technically inclined, so you know how to code. But from a marketing standpoint, going online, how did you think through it?
Yeah, so I've always kind of been exposed to like some aspect of like the marketing, some aspect of the e-commerce. And when we were sitting around, we were like, hey, you know, we don't really have the resources to just kind of go and spend $250,000 or $500,000 to get a cafe up and running. And especially because we don't know anything about coffee. When we started this, we didn't know how to roast coffee. We just knew we enjoyed it. And we could tell the difference between burnt coffee and like okay coffee. And what we did was we just started learning. I mean, we had some familiarity with some of the platforms out there like Squarespace, GoDaddy, Shopify. And we knew that we wanted to have something that could eventually scale, which e-commerce is great for scaling things. And we just started. We just added, went on, we started with Shopify, and we just started typing things out, from taking pictures, uploading pictures, making videos, uploading those, and just going through a trial and error process. At the beginning, I was on Google and like the Shopify blog and all these other like how-to articles more than I was actually doing anything on the actual platform. But now you know, the learning curve has kind of like flattened out a bit, and we're becoming much more efficient with how we do these changes.
So if you could speak to yourself, like, you know, if today's Garrett could speak to last year's Garrett and condense all of those things that you learned, like what are the five most useful things that, you know, you've got from experience-wise that you'd love to have known last year?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm a process guy. So I really love the process of like going through these things and these trial and errors and then like getting these little quick wins. But if I had to give like some tips, I would say, you know, really, I think people waste a lot of time saying, hey, I have to go and I have to pick the best thing. Like I have to go Google or Microsoft or Amazon, right? I have to pick the best one or else I'm not going to be competitive. Just pick one. I mean, absolutely. I mean, they're almost the same. Shopify, Squarespace, GoDaddy, they're all almost the same. Just pick one and start. And you know, I think we got tripped up on some really basic decisions that didn't really affect the company long-term at the beginning. And I wish we would have just realized, hey, we just need to make this decision and go move on. So if, you know, if I could go back, I would just say, make the decision, get the feedback. And if it was wrong, I mean, if it's to your customer, apologize. If it's internal, just, I mean, chalk it up as, hey, team, we lost this and we're going to kind of course correct and move forward.
Awesome. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the problem is whenever you start a business, you have all these really big ideas and you want everything to be perfect. So then you get into this paralysis analysis. And instead, just go with it, whatever that feels right. I guess it's like comes down to a bit of a balance, right? Like do a little bit of research, but not too much. But hopefully you get burned enough that you know where not to go, and then you can sort of fail faster. So maybe I think it's a good time to jump into the site. Let's have a look and maybe just talk us through sort of thought process behind it. Let's look at your homepage.
Yeah, let's take a look. Let me share here. Okay. Can you see everything?
Yeah. All right. So, let's go from here. How did you come up with this? Because you mentioned a lot of things, like in terms of how you differentiate yourself, and I think you talked about the technology. But in here, you've clearly focused on the coffee itself and not the process. Talk us through how you designed this.
Yeah, so I think everything kind of starts with the logo, right? So you see the logo mentioned a few times here. You see the coffee name mentioned a few times here. And we wanted to, when a customer goes to this website, we specifically to the homepage, we want them to know that they just went to a coffee website. We don't want to have a bunch of pictures of us doing other things or not having the branding of what the company actually is right up front, because if someone's not interested, say they're looking for coffee and they don't see any indication in this picture here that it's a coffee website, then they're going to leave. So what we do is we really are trying to focus on building a brand. So that's why you see so many instances of the logo there. And we wanted to make it kind of sleek to where you see kind of one of the products, you see that it's kind of a different packaging. I mean, we went with like a stand-up craft white pouch, which is kind of doesn't really happen a lot in the coffee. I mean, you see a lot of these like gusseted bags, which are kind of like squared off bags that have like little twist tie on it. Those are really common. And then you see kind of some other things that you don't normally see. I mean, the mugs are pretty common, but the beanies, for example, are a little bit different. And then we wanted to, you know, the call to action here is most coffee companies, for example, Starbucks, Folgers, Maxwell House, they just focus on creating a cheap, well, not so much Starbucks, but Folgers, Maxwell House, focus on creating a cheap coffee. They just want to push coffee out. They just want to give coffee to regular consumers. But what we did here is we are focusing only on single origin coffee. So it's like a higher level of quality in terms of coffee. We source all of our coffee from one particular country, and then we use that one particular country's coffee for each one of our roasts. So, for example, this Washington roast here, it comes from Colombia. So every customer, when they go to the homepage, they say, hey, this is single origin coffee. And then that leads them to some potential questions where we have some additional information down on the page here. So if we kind of scroll down some more, you see we have our Instagram kind of embedded. So you see our Instagram feed here. And then we talk about, hey, this is our single origin coffee, right? So we don't want to sacrifice quality. So they get to read a little snippet there. We do everything in small batches, and we touch a little bit on the benefits there. And then we have a few other pictures of some of the things that we do to just show kind of some brand awareness and incorporate some of these things into like a household. And that's kind of our homepage here.
So you very clearly not featured your products on the homepage, right? You really made it more of a story, a brand, and like, I mean, it's very clear that you sell coffee, but you know, a lot of stores you'll see things like prices or packages or collections. Can you talk us through that decision? Was it because of like the customer that you had in mind that you wanted to see more like a premium brand, or was there anything else that you were thinking about?
Yeah. So when we started this, so we don't want to just be known as a coffee company. So our mission statement is to provide top tier coffee to the visionaries of the world and then share in their accomplishments. So what we mean by that is not only do we want to create great coffee, that's where the single origin coffee comes in, right? So when a customer drinks this coffee, they have an expectation that it's going to be good because they equate single origin coffee with good coffee. Now, what we mean by like visionaries of the world is we want to reach out to people and have a connection and communicate with people that are doing something different. So we're not right now, we're kind of focused on the coffee, building the brand. But as we go into the future, as that brand matures, we want to start focusing more on the customer and what those customers are doing. We want to share in their accomplishments, right? So that's kind of where the logo comes in. So the idea behind the logo is you have this, we're in the Washington, D.C. area, so there's a lot of like political history there. But you see kind of a crown there, and it's flanked by two like American colonists. And what they're trying to do is essentially like topple the crown. And the premise behind that is you have this big idea at the time, this way of living, the status quo that exists, and you have these small like little group of people that see the world in a different way, and they're trying to do something to change it. And that's what we kind of want to incentivize people to do in the future, whether it's go out, start a business, whether it's go out and buy their first home, whether it's go and, you know, start helping the community. We want to incentivize people to do the things that would make them successful, make them feel good, all while drinking coffee, because coffee is really synonymous with doing anything important. Like if you go to a job interview, you could be drinking coffee and it's socially acceptable. You could buy a house and, you know, as a congratulatory kind of like thing, you go and you drink coffee together. Or if you just want to have a discussion and talk about the future, you could go drink coffee. So it's really socially acceptable. But for right now, we're focusing a lot on the coffee, building the brand, and eventually we're going to shift to more, hey, now that our coffee's out there, what are you guys doing with it?
So I guess the lesson learned here is really focus on what your objective is in terms of the customer and the brand you're trying to build, right? Because in this case, you're clearly trying to go for people to know who you are, and the coffee is almost secondary to what you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and I guess if somebody, like there's already, I think what the thing I like about this homepage, like the first time I come in, is like you said, it's there's no doubt in my mind that this is a coffee store. Mm-hmm. And then you've already designed it so that any questions I have in terms of like why is it single origin, how is it premium, you've already answered that. And so I guess what's your preferred, like the way you think about it, like what's that user journey looking like? Do you see them scrolling all the way down, getting to know you, and then coming back up and hitting that button? Or like how did you design that?
So we actually, we see a lot of folks, what they'll do is we use a tool called Hotjar, and we actually get them, they scroll down a bit, and sometimes when we focus on getting content or traffic to our website, we don't necessarily want them to go to the homepage. Sometimes we get them to go alternative routes, which we could discuss here in a second. Mm-hmm. But if they come here, what they normally do is they want to check out the coffee right away. So I would say 75% of the users, as soon as they come here, they'll see it. And either click on those three bars in the top left-hand corner or click shop coffee. I think that the page is big enough to where someone doesn't know that there's kind of a scroll bar down below, and that's okay. You know, if people want to go and directly shop coffee, that's fine. We want to give the customers any really route that they want to take to eventually just surf around on our website.
So that's a really important statistic, right? 75% of people just directly go in and look at, okay, what do these guys have? And then you've got the 25% that want to know a little bit more. So you're kind of like already seeing two kinds of customers, one who are just sort of exploratory and want to read more about it, which is a minority, 25%, and the others who are just like, all right, show me what you got.
Absolutely.
So do you use this kind of analytics to try to understand, I mean, Hotjar's a great example of like the different kinds of customers and sort of the objectives they have, so that you design the homepage to try to give something for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's another aspect of of differentiation we want to do in terms of technology. I mean, it's nothing new for some other industries like the tech industry or just some other industries that have widely adopted technology. Mm-hmm. But if you take a typical coffee roaster, most of the time their websites are either poor or they don't have them at all. So just being that we have a website puts us kind of above average in terms of the other coffee roasters out there. And, you know, when we kind of let this happen, it's really on the basis of, hey, you know, customers shop in different ways. Let's try to appeal to those different ways. And we see everything. So we are real big on the analytics piece. So like Hotjar, for example, we use HubSpot. HubSpot's like a huge marketing tool that we use, where we get really a lot of insights into interactions on our website. And we can follow up and engage with people as they kind of shop and go through that customer journey.
Right. I mean, have you guys thought about adding like live chat or anything like that so you can engage with people?
Yeah, so that's one thing we're actually we're testing a few things now. So you see at the bottom there, you kind of have like an earn rewards and then also a share a link. And like say you click the share link here. What we're trying to do here is you know, someone clicks on it, they get their unique share link. They could sign up, and then they have a few ways to share. So if you're familiar with the Morning Brew is like a newsletter that goes out, and it's really an interesting thing that they use to help build their following. So we wanted to do kind of the same thing. So we have like a reward system in place where it's pretty obtainable to get these rewards. So like if you refer two people, we'll send you a logo decal. If you refer five people, we'll give you a mug. Seven people, we'll give you a bag of coffee. 10 people, a tumbler. And then 15 people, we'll give you three bags.
And what's a referral? Is that when somebody clicks on the link or if somebody actually buys something from that link?
So when somebody actually buys something with that link. And what we did to really incentivize people is, hey, if you refer 50 people, we can give you a year's supply.
Wow.
So it's it costs the company a few hundred dollars, but you know, if you have 50 people also purchasing, it's not so much. So we wanted to kind of, we don't focus a lot on advertising other than social media. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to create alternative methods to really get people to talk about our brand. And that's from, like we run a free coffee survey, which here I could go into that now. So. This is another aspect of our website where we get a lot of people to go to. So we have this survey, and every month what we do is we have people just go through the survey. So we start with the email address. We use Typeform, just embed the form in here. We ask if anyone has referred them. We ask for their name. And then we give them some questions, a general set of questions that we kind of ask everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Design of the site. So overall design, what's your thought from 1 to 10? Range of coffees and merchandise, 1 to 10. Coffee and merchandise description. So these are all links to those pages as well. And then finding what you needed. So like your FAQ, subscription info, referral programs, etc. And then what we do is every month we change the back set of questions. So what we're doing now for May is we're asking the customers, hey, if you could change something on our website, what would it be? So that's something that we really want to include into our business process because, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't have something that customers want or people that just go to your website want, they're not going to shop from you. And being that we're implementing some of these things, people see that and they're like, wow, this company is actually listening to me. And that's what we want to know that and be a part of like a customer's life in that way.
So how long have you been running this survey for now?
So a few months. So our first one was probably in March. beginning of March.
Okay. But sorry, Garrett, I think you were about to say something and I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. So then we have some stuff that we've been thinking about. So like example here, would you like seeing us explain our coffees in a video and put them on our website, right? So we're giving the customer a choice. And then same thing here, would you like access to free educational coffee content? So and then ask them for suggestions. And then we do the typical net promoter score type thing. And then when they hit submit, it'll take them to their straight to the coffee page where they can browse.
Nice. And tell me about what you've done about this feedback. Are there things which in terms of feedback you got that was surprising that you didn't expect?
Let's start with that. So some of the stuff, yes, some of the stuff, no. So we understand. So as we were talking about before about just making decisions, mm-hmm. We understand this site's not perfect and it's mm-hmm. never going to be perfect. Every time we update it, it's already obsolete in terms of what we're doing. And that's where we're trying to create a real big feedback loop. So not only are we incentivizing customers to give us our feedback by saying, hey, if you let us know your thoughts, we're going to give you a bag of coffee or some other prize. But it allows us to get their honest feedback. And then we take that feedback. So like, for example, just last month, we knew we had some pretty, just kind of like okay coffee listing descriptions, right? So what we did was we completely rewrote our descriptions. So these are the new descriptions. All the folks, we saw a trend where they were like, hey, I like your description, but I don't see anything about kind of how the coffee tastes or a little bit more about the coffee. So we did just that. We added flavor profile, the body, the acidity, where it comes from, the altitude, the processing method, and kind of embedded into our little description that we have here. And that was one area where when we sent out the May survey, we said, hey, we're listening to you. And we also send everyone an email. And we say, hey, we're listening to you. We really liked these ideas from this month. And put like, hey, rewrite the product descriptions.
That's great. So you're really building a following and an audience who feel like you guys actually care and you're actually making changes based on feedback.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what we want.
So has most of the survey feedback been around the product catalog the pages, or have you seen anything like maybe even in the homepage have people said or in the buying process, or is it usually on the product page?
So it's from when we ran it, it seemed to be more focused on the product. As we continue this, we're refining the process now to where we'll continue adding those four like baseline questions of those, you know, 1 through 10 scaled. And the reason for that is to see the trends over time. Mm-hmm. As the sample size increases, we'll be able to see if we're getting better. And then the next four questions are on, hey, specific things that we've either learned from best practices by doing research or have been talking to people and they recommend, or by looking externally to seeing some what some other folks are doing. And then directly asking the consumer, hey, would you appreciate something like this? Or what do you think of this specific spot on the website? So we could say, like, for example, we actually just started a blog too, where we started, we're going to be publishing work all the time.
Right.
So like, here's an example of one that we did. So like letting if someone doesn't know what single origin coffee is, they can come here and see, hey, this is kind of what it is. And then there's some stuff that they can read, and then they can leave a comment if they want, letting us know kind of what their thoughts were on it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, you know, eventually the people appreciate getting educated by a brand, like a company that actually takes the time to put in some educational content to actually teach people things. I think a lot of folks really appreciate that, and they enjoy affiliating themselves or purchasing coffee from a company that's like, hey, you know, we're not too strict on how you drink your coffee. I mean, there's some coffee companies that are like, hey, you need to drink your coffee company or your coffee this way. But with this, we're just saying, hey, there's so many ways to do it. We just want to give you a little bit more of insight onto, you know, what we're thinking and kind of like some best practices as well.
I think that's a really good tip because especially with the industry you're in, I mean, coffee, I think it's one of those industries where people are very passionate about it, right? And just coming back to this this point about educating people, the moment you make a statement like premium single origin coffee, you either are somebody who totally gets it or someone who's like, I've never heard of that term, what is it? So it totally makes sense that the more time you spend educating the customer on what that means, they're going to be far more likely to be a fan because now they're going to understand why this is important.
Yep, absolutely. And another part of the blog where we're really setting ourselves up for is that transition from focusing a lot on the product to focusing more about the people.
Right.
Well, you know,
once that's a quote.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's you know, what we want to eventually do is we want to reach out to people that we feel are doing some incredible things in their community, whether they're like we have some customer personas that we kind of follow, like from the entrepreneur, from the sustainability advocate to the community advocate as well, and then just the general specialty coffee nerd, like that really like loves drinking their coffee. They grind it right before they drink it. They use a Chemex or a French press to brew it, and they love the experience. We want to kind of appeal to all of those folks. And eventually what we want to do is we want to kind of profile some of those people that are doing something interesting, whether it's starting a business or helping out their community or just having a job where they have an impact. Like say some of the healthcare workers right now, right? They're having a huge impact and they're doing something that really has never been done before. And that's really what we want to focus on. They're getting outside of their comfort zone. They're doing something to make the world better. And we want to share that information about that person with the rest of our community. So that blog is going to be kind of the starting point for that. And then we'll also kind of branch off and start doing some podcast work as well.
And really, I guess all of this is, you know, when you're saying things like, don't talk about the product, talk about the people, the customer. It's, I guess that's the way you do business now, right? It's becoming even more so where you really need to find something to let your customers connect with you. Like it's a lot deeper than just saying, hey, here's this product. It's $5 or $10 or whatever it is. It's much more than that. People want to know that I think people are now more than ever associating themselves with the brand that they buy from.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we feel could be a point of differentiation. And one thing that we all feel passionate about as well. And you know, if you have a company that a consumer generally appreciates with mm-hmm. some of the things you're doing, they're going to be, you know, they may be inclined to purchase and become a daily consumer of just because of some of the values that the company kind of preaches.
Yeah, and then you get the word of mouth effect as well, right? Where you've already incentivized it for the referrals, but you know, hopefully you'll get some just offline referrals too. So I think this is a really solid segment already, especially on how you guys have done a really good job of getting growing a sort of a passionate audience to come in and then give and make them feel like they're heard to make sure that their website buying experience is as the best that you guys can do. And, you know, I think just linking back to your first piece of advice that you'll never have anything perfect. So don't try to make it perfect. Just keep learning and making it better. Let's jump into the checkout of the buying process. Maybe just like, you don't have to put your credit card details in, but like, let's just maybe just see what that looks like. Like what does a visitor see? Like they go to coffee, they click on a product.
So we actually, I just spent about a month and a half I also go to school too. I'm doing a master's in IT at the University of Virginia. And one of my projects for that class or for that degree was to do a digital transformation. So my team and I, we picked Common Sense Coffee. And what we did was we did a point of sale digital transformation. So what we want to do is we want to make the point of sale experience. So all the way from when a customer goes to the checkout process, all the way through to the checkout confirmation page, how do we make that better? How do we eliminate some of the pain points? So we really have identified some really interesting areas. Like just right off the bat, so this site is pretty good from a mobile perspective, where you see the coffee right away, and then you scroll down and you see the pricing, right? And then you start to dive into the description, and then you can scroll down all the way, see another picture, you see some reviews, and then the you may also like kind of area, and that's the general coffee listing here. What we want to do, and we're working on this now, is incorporate a little bit more kind of like lifestyle pictures of, hey, not just the coffee, but the coffee and something else to put on the description page. But we have two areas, right? So we could do a one-time purchase or subscribe and save. So say for right now, we'll subscribe or do a one-time purchase. And you have some general things. You can get whole bean, the sizing, the quantity. And then you'll go up to your cart, and then you have your cart here on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side, and then you get checkout. So right now we feel that's too many steps. You're clicking top right to go to your cart, then you're clicking go to cart, and then you have like this other page, it's like checkout, right? Why would you do three steps? So we're working on shortening that. And then you just go to the checkout page here. What's happening? Oh, there we go.
So I've seen some sites where when you add to cart, they'll do a little pop-up saying, do you want to keep shopping or do you want to check out now? Or is that something else that you guys are thinking about?
Yeah, so we really want to be able to add the functionality for someone to add to cart, just like a quick view. So if they see the coffee kind of on any page or even on some of the social media sites, where they could just say, hey, let's buy now. So to really expedite the buying process, if they want to just buy one thing.
Right.
Or do the pop-up where you say, hey, you know, we want to buy anything else. But for right now, I mean, we're also going to do some interesting things around like voice checkout. So that's another thing we're really banking on. Consumers are really going more towards the voice capability platforms with like your Google Home and your Amazon Echo. So what we want to make it is so a customer can actually just say, hey, Amazon Echo, order me some more Common Sense Coffee, or hey Google, do the same thing. And that'll give us another medium to change the checkout process and bring it to a voice medium as opposed to just a visual type thing. And then here you just put in your contact information, or if you have an account, you can log in, and then discount code area. And if the customer is a repeat customer, they'll get some express checkout options like using PayPal, or you know, we're working on the Amazon Pay piece where they can log into their Amazon accounts and use their shipping address and credit card information to get on, go through the process that way.
All right. Well, thanks, Garrett. I think we pretty much covered it all. You guys have clearly done a very good job with the website, and there's a lot of thought that's gone behind it. Is there anything else that you think we've missed that you think people should know about?
Well, we're always looking for reviews and critiques. So if anyone's given their critique, we give out free coffee for it.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot here for people to already follow. I think adding that survey was an excellent idea. You're still having it, so that is an excellent idea. Because there's no better person to tell you what changes to make than the person who's trying to buy from you. Right? To me, at least personally, that's the biggest takeaway from our discussion here. And you guys have really done a good job of like keeping that. And I think it, you know, you really made a very good point there when you said when you ask somebody for feedback the first time, people will give it to you. But then if they don't feel like you're doing something with it, the next time they're not going to be so keen. And what you guys have really done with this email list and saying, hey, we took these three, you're kind of incentivizing people to feel like they've got a stake in the business and making it better. So I think that's really awesome.
Yep, absolutely. We want to, the engagement with the customers are really important.
Garrett, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Stay safe, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're still here, which means you definitely enjoyed that conversation. This is a special COVID-19 e-commerce miniseries to help small business merchants out there get prepared. We're doing a lot more of these, so be the first to know whenever there's a new episode. Just follow DataCue, that's DataCue, on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Stay safe out there, everybody. Till next time, this is Sharam.